Okay, we're on Daf Yud Aleph today. So let me go back to right. That's where Yud Aleph, right? So if you remember, we did the Mishnah yesterday about when a person has to do bedikah, and we learned the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it came up in the Maskana of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says you should check the night of the 14th, and if you didn't check on the 14th, you'll check on the morning of the 14th. If you didn't check on the morning of the 14th, you'll check Bishat HaBir. Bishat HaBir is like between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock in the sixth hour, when it's only prohibited on a Drabbanan level to possess chametz. That's the Shita of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. And then the Chachamim agree with him on that. But then they say, if you didn't check the way Rashi learns, that Chachamim say that if you didn't check on the night of the 14th, and you should check in the morning of the 14th. If you didn't check on the morning of the 14th, you should check B'toch HaMoed. So Rashi takes the B'toch HaMoed means in that sixth hour. Lo b'dak B'toch HaMoed, yibdok la'achar HaMoed would be till nightfall, is the way Rashi learns. But I want to do Tosfos now on the Mishnah, on that Gemara, really, and then I'll go further. Okay, look at the last Tosfos on the Amud, because it's important. So Rashi explains, if you didn't check Petocha Moed, Moed means the appointed time. So Rashi means the appointed time Rashi takes it is the sixth hour, between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock on Erev Pesach. The Kasha, the Rebbe Yehuda carried lay Shad Abiyur. So in the Mishnah itself, Rebbe Yehuda calls that hour Sha'at Habir, the hour of destruction of the Chametz. Why would the Mishnah change expressions midstream and call it not Shad Abiyur? It would say now it's calling it, Shad HaMoed or whatever. So he says, V'kashel Rebbe Yehuda kari leh Shad Abiyur, v'lama shinu l'shono, ela b'toch HaMoed haynu b'chilat sheva ad sof ha-pesach. So he says it means from the beginning of the seventh hour, which would be 12 noon, till the end of Pesach is B'toch HaMoed. So if you didn't, so that's B'toch HaMoed. U'la'achar HaMoed, yivdok, k'dishlo yitarev lo chametz shel isur below heter. So you don't end up with, like, in other words, even after Pesach, you have to check, because you don't want to end up, with chametz, which is prohibited in Achila and Hana, mixing in with,
Shavar la'pesach.
yeah, it's becoming shavar lava Pesach. So the way Tosfos understands it is within the Shita Chamim, lo badak b'arba'asar, yivdok b'toch HaMoed, you'll check b'toch HaMoed. That means from like Erev Pesach 12 noon till the end of Yontiv. Lo badak b'toch HaMoed, yivdok l'achar HaMoed. If you didn't check then, you'll check even after the last day of Yontiv is over. So let's see back in Tosfos. So we've done the last Tosfos Meir, if you're there. Okay, and Aaron Gershon. So he says, Rashi didn't want to explain it that way. So on Daf Beit, so Rashi said, why do you need Bedika? So you shouldn't be over on Bal Yira, Bal Yimatzeh, that the Chametz shouldn't be found in Yerushut. So Tosfos learned that, so Tosfos says the Bedika is just a Din D'Rabbanan. You're already doing Bitul. So why you need the Bedika? So Tosfos says, we're afraid that if you come across Chametz, you may eat it. So that's the problem. Right. So the Tosfos, the Shita Toh, that's what Tosfos is saying. So it's a problem. I have to keep, even though I did Bitul, I got to keep searching for this Chametz because I don't want to come across it and eat it. And even after place that, please, just 1 second. Give me 1 second, Michael, I'll get to you. Okay. So, and even after Pesach, I'm afraid that you'll eat that Chametz. And Rashi, though, is going like Babal Yira Bal Yimatzeh. So it's hard to understand Rashi. We discussed this previously. How can he say Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh since you're doing the Bitul? But I think the Aladaf had this, but you can be mitzarif this with the Ran, that the Ran says that we're afraid the Bitul wasn't a good Bitul. You had in mind, some other Chametz, and then it wasn't such a good Bitul. Then he would be over Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh. Okay, what do you got for me, Michael? You got to mute. Unmute. I can't hear you. You got to unmute yourself. You're muted. Unmute.
You're mixing kasha and nun, because chametz she'avar ala Pesach is a din d'rabbanan.
Right.
Chametz on Pesach, it's an issa d'oraisa.
Right.
It's a karis.
It's true, so but
you're
but the,
it,
no, 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 no. But in other words, Tosfos is saying that you have to search because you're afraid of achilas isur. So you're right. It's a different isur eating chametz during Pesach and after Pesach, but it's still achilas isur. That's what Tosfos is saying.
Understood, except during that time period, it's going in and out of
Inachinami, but that's the way. Okay. That's the way Tosfos is learning pshat. Yes. All right, what else has he got? What Aaron Moshe, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that if you're telling somebody, go out and destroy what you find chometz, or go out and look and destroy, it's a very hard concept to say that the guy's going to eat it.
All right, we'll come to that idea today, okay? So, but that's the svar in today's daf. Okay, so hold off. Okay, let me go back. Okay, so I'm going to mute everybody again, and we'll move on, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so now... So we mentioned, but either way, the point being that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm only going to do bdika till Sha'at HaBiur, which is between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock. And even though then, so let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom on Yud Amud Beis 10b. V'achabachim iflagi, mar savar mikami isura in batar isura lo. So one holds, meaning the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, I should search before the Isur clicks in. He says, after the Isur to eat it clicks in, I shouldn't. Because I'm afraid that if he's involved with chametz afterwards, he'll come to eat it. That's the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. And even though in the sixth hour, it's prohibited on a Drabbanan level, but it's not prohibited on a Deraisa level. So he goes up till then, not afterwards. For Rabbanan Savri, the Chum hold lo gazrin, we're not gozer with that and keep searching for it. So the Gemara says, two lines from the bottom, does the Tana Rabbi Yehuda really say that if there's a concern you're going to eat it, I don't want you to be involved with it? I don't want you patching around with things that are Isur Achila. He says, "V'hatanan." We learned the Mishnah Masechet Menachot, and we did this last night. Misha Karav HaOmer Yotzi Nemotzin Shuk Yerushalayim Shemalim Kemach V'Kali Shlobertson Chachamim Divrei Rav Meir. That when they would bring the Omer is brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed, the second day of Pesach, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. So the Omer is the barley offering. So before the Omer is brought, you're not allowed to eat Chadash. Chadash is any tavua, any crops that have taken root since the last Hakrabas Omer. So I can't eat any of the crops like from grain, for any of the grains till the Omer is brought. He says, but as soon as the Omer was brought, let's say the Omer was brought at 7 a.m. in the morning, they'd go out and see that the marketplace in Yerushalayim are filled with kemach, means the chadash, that what was chadash up until an hour ago is in the marketplace already. The kali is like the toasted grain. He says, shelo b'ritzon chachamim divrei Meir. The chachamim weren't happy with that, according to Rav Meir, because they were afraid. The gezeira that Rabbi Yehuda had in our Mishnah, that's what the Chachamim were concerned about. They're concerned that if a person's involved with it, he'll come to eat it. He says, but here's the key. Rabbi Yehuda omer, b'rtzon chachamim hayu osin. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it was fine. They were fine with it, and there was no problem with that. So we have really a double steer here. So again, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't want you searching for chametz after the zman to eat the chametz is chal, because I'm afraid you're going to eat it. Or at least in the Mishnah, it's after the Zman for Chametz is Doraisa, then I don't want you involved with it because I'm afraid you'll come to eat it. Whereas the Chachamim are not afraid about that. And here it's completely flipped over. Here we have Rav Meir, not the Chachamim, but we assume that Rav Meir would be in the group of the Chachamim. Rav Meir is concerned you're going to eat the Chadash. It's different Isur, but the Chadash. And Rav Yehuda isn't concerned about it. Okay, so that's the Stira. So the Gemara says on the second line in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Lo Kagazer Rabbi Yehuda Dilma'ati Lameichal Minei. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make a gezeira that you may come to eat it. So here he is, goes there, don't search for it. After the Zman Isur, you may come to eat it. And there he says, Gegezunta Hei, you're with it. So the Gemara says, Amar, and the Bach chases to Rabbah with the Hei. Amar Rabbah, Shani Chadash, Mitoch Shlo, Itart Lo, Dekitov, Huzachur. So Rabbah says, Chadash is different. So it says by Chadash, it says in Parshat Emor, Reshit Kitzir Chemel HaKohen, the first of your reapings will be for the, what does the Pasuk say? He says, El HaKohen. The first of your reapings you'll bring to the Kohen. So that you're only allowed to do, you can't harvest it. Well, normally you like to take it with a sickle, a magal. You can't take the omer with it to even harvest it with a sickle before the omer has been cut. And so they would just pluck it, they would pull it out of the ground. So they're plucking it. So the Gemara says that Rabbah says that Shana Kaddish Toshal Yitar to Lo Yidei Kituf, since the only way you can pull it out of the ground is not the regular way, I'm doing Kituf, he says, Hu Zachur. That's like, that serves as a reminder to him that I'm not allowed to eat it. So that's why it's different. So Amar Le Abai, so Abai says to Rabbah, again, Rabbah was his uncle and his Rebbe, Tenech B'shat Ketifah. So that works at the moment when you're plucking it. Fine, I have like the red light going on during Ketifah. He says, Tchina Barakata Ma'ik Lameima. But what about when the person's grinding? We said that you're bringing Kemach and Kali. So Kemach, flour, so I have to grind the flour and I have to sift the flour. So what reminder do I have during the grinding and the sifting that I can't eat it? Well, why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about it here. So the Gemara says, Halo Kasha, it's not difficult. Tchina Berechai Diyad, Harkanal Gabi Nafa. Tchina he'll do with a hand mill as opposed to like a water mill, a water wheel, you know, a water mill. In other words, like the grist mill, you know, like you won't do that. You'll do it like a hand mill. That'll be the Zikaron. And the Harkata, the sifting, you'll flip over the sieve, and you put it on the backside of the sieve. That'll be the zikaron for it. So the Gemara says, let's pause for a second. So again, so we had two stiras between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechet Menachot. In our Mishnah, the Tana Rebbe Yehuda is concerned that if you go searching for the chametz, you'll come to eat it if it's Zman Isur. And in the Mishnah in Masechet Menachot, he's not concerned if you're preparing the flour from the Kaddish and things like that, you'll come to eat it before the time. So how do we reconcile that? So the Gemara is, so Rabbi says the way we reconcile it is that there are other signs, other reminders not to eat it. He won't, because in Mimela, he can't reap the tavua. He'll have to pull it out of the ground, pluck it out of the ground. That'll be reminded then. And what about during Tchina Baharkata? So Tchina he's going to do differently. He's going to do Tchina with the handmill, and the Harkata he's going to do with the backside of the sieve. So that'll be constantly reminded that he can't eat it. That'll work out that way. Any questions on what we did so far? Michael, what's up?
I'm worried that he's going to eat raw.
All right, we're going to come to it. The Gemara is going to raise that issue, okay? All right, let's see further. Now, the Gemara says, Elahaditnan, but the Gemara says, but we still have another difficulty. There's another Mishnah, Masechet Menachot. The Mishnah says, Kotzrin Beit Hashlachim V'sheba Amakim Avalo Gochim. That, now, even though we said there's an East, the first Ketzira has to be for the Omer, but the Gemara learns based on a pasuk. I'll explain the pasuk in a minute. That's only if the field would be eligible to bring it for the Omer. There are other fields that have an inferior crop, and the fields that have an inferior crop are the irrigated fields and Visheba Amakim, the ones in the valley. So those, the Tana Mishnah learns that Kotzrim Beit Hashlachim Visheba Amakim, I'm allowed to Ketzir in the normal fashion. So I could harvest it, but I just can't pile it up. That's the harchaka. So now before we go with that, the limud is a pasuk in the Chumash in Parshat Emor, which we lay in on Yantiv, right? We lay it on Sukkot and we lay it in on Pesach, right? The second day of Pesach. So in Eretz Yisrael, you lay it on the first day of Chol HaMoed for Michael when he's making Aliyah in those years. Maybe this year will be again. I don't know. Not looking good, and then in Chutz La'aretz, so it's the second day of Yantiv, so we say so it says, so there's a pasuk, it says Ki tavol ha'aretz shaninot lechem uksartem kitzira, you'll do the harvest v'habetem et omri shekitzirchem lakohen, you'll bring the omer, the first of your kitzira, to the kohen. So it mentions kitzira twice. So the Chazal understand the pasuk in the Gemara Masechet Menachot is, he's talking about two reapings. One is Kitivol Aretz Shaninot Lechem Uksartem Ketzira. You'll do the first harvest, and then you'll bring the Omer. In other words, you'll have a harvest, and then you'll bring the Omer. And then the Omer is Reshit Ketzirchem. So Chazal teach us there's like two types of fields. There's like the inferior field, and I could do the regular harvest with the inferior field before I bring the Omer. Now, that, where I'm doing the regular harvest, that is still chadash. It doesn't change the status chadash, but it means there's no prohibition that I can't do ketziru with it. So the question is, so back in the Gemara, so we said that according to Rabbah, Rabbi Huda holds that the Kaddish is different because they have all these sort of like halakhic, you know, red lights in front of me. The Gemara in Masechet Menachot learns that Mishnah, but Dafka is following the Tana Rabbi Huda. So this is my Iklamemor. So what's preventing you from eating it then? I'm doing like the regular Katsira. So I could eat grain, you know, off a stalk. And well, how come Rabbi Huda doesn't make a gzera there? So here we have our Ella, Fern. I always think of you with the Ella. So Ella means like delete, right? Delete. So skip the previous shot. So Ella, Amar Abaye. So rather Abaye, remember Abaye was the Makshin against the Rabba. So he sort of, it seems like it's you know, so that shot fell down. He says, Chadash Badil Minei, Chameitz Lo Badil Minei. So that's the line to highlight with your highlighter, or if you have one, if you were not recommending you to highlight necessarily in the Gemara, but that's the line to remember. So it's a different Hesber. Chadash Badil Minei. People are habituated to stay away from Chadash. In other words, I see Chadash, I know I can't eat Chadash until the Omer is brought. That I know. Chametz, I'm used to eating chametz. I eat chametz today, tomorrow, this thing. Just Pesach, I can't eat it. So it's much more likely I'll eat the chametz. So again, within the sheet of the Tana, Rabbi Huda, so Rabbi Huda was afraid I'll come to eat the chametz. So why is he afraid of me to come to eat the chametz? I'm searching for the chametz. So badil minei, you know, I had bread yesterday, the day before. So what's different now? So I'm more likely to eat. But by the chadash, he's not afraid, not because of the reasons we said before, this different, that different, the other thing different. Chadash, I'm habituated. I know that Chadash is in a different getter. So three more lines and I'll pause. So I'm a Rava. So now here's Rava. Like you have a Baye, Rava's not too far away. That's the typical situation. It's like a Rava with a Hey, then a Baye, then Rava. So I remember Rabbi Ezra Schwartz had mentioned about a Baye and Rava, how they're always mentioned all over. So I'm a Rava. Rabbi Huda Kasha. Rabbanan Lo Kasha. So is it only a contradiction within the Shita of Rabbi Huda? What about the contradiction with the Shita of the Chachamim? Again, Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah said that he doesn't want you to search after Zman Iser, you may eat it. And then by the Chadash, he wasn't worried about it. So that we resolved. Chadash, I'm habituated not to touch it, and the Chametz not. But the Chachamim in our Mishnah are not concerned that you may come to eat it and say, go ahead, search. And we assume that Reb Meir in the Mishnah Masechet Menachot, who says that they shouldn't, there was Shlober Son Chachamim. They didn't want people to put the Kemach and the Kali out in the marketplace because they're afraid they're eating it. Isn't that a stira? In our Mishnah, we assume that Reb Meir is part of the Chachamim. He's part of that whole Chabura. So, and again, Reb Yehud and Reb Meir are bar pluktus throughout Shas. Those are another pair. So so isn't there a stira within the sheet of the Chachamim? In the Mishnah, they're not concerned about eating it, and yet in the Mishnah Masechet Menachot they are. So he says, so the Rabbanan Lo Kasha. So in here the Bach heads on the words Ella Amarava, Ella Marava with an Aleph, the Rabbi Huda Lo Kasha Kiddushaninan. So Rabbi Huda, I'm fine. We gave a Hezra for that. He says the Rabbanan Nami Lo Kasha. There's no contradiction within the sheet of the Chachamim. Who Atzim? Now this is somebody mentioned this far. I think it was you, Aaron Moshe. If you're still there, Aaron Moshe, he says. He's on a search and destroy mission. Am I afraid that he's going to eat it? He's searching for the chametz just so he could get it to burn it. Is he going to be so foolish as to eat it at that moment? So we don't think that the chametz that he'll come to eat it by chametz. But by normally, I am afraid that they are going to eat it. Okay, so let's just pause for a second. So again, we had a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechet Menachot with the Chadash. So it comes out that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Huda is afraid you'll eat it. And over there, by the Chadash, he's not. So the difference is, within the sheet of Rabbi Huda, where we said that Chametz Lo Badil In Shiminei, a person is not habituated to stay away from chametz. He's used to eating it, so he's more concerned he'll come to eat it. And that svara was used in Tosfos, on Daf Beis, the first Tosfos. And then, but Chadash, I'm habituated, so I'm not going to be worried about it. And then the Chachamim, their Shitot are totally reversed. So it comes out that the Chachamim normally are concerned that you're going to eat it, but by chametz, you're on a search and destroy mission. So they don't think you're going to come to eat it. If I'm searching it to burn it up, I'm not going to forget about it and then eat it. That's what the Gemara assumes. Okay, now who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. All right, I'm going to go on. Okay, so welcome, Mayor. So we're around around the 10th line, Adolf Ahmed Aleph. You know, excuse me 1 minute, my phone is ringing. Give me 1 second. Okay.
Mayor, are you driving?
Okay, everybody with me? All right, so let's go back further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says... one second.
They're getting calls from Chevron to support Chevron.
Yeah, are you going or coming?
Right, everybody.
We're getting calls for Chevron.
Coming home.
Anyway,
coming home.
Anyway,
he's coming home from Chevron.
Anyway, all right. Let's all focus. So,
where are you?
We're around 15 lines down, Adolf Ahmed Aleph. So the Gemara says, Ravashi Amar, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Lokasha. So Ravashi wants to give a different hesber for the ostensible contradiction within the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that he is concerned he'll eat it, but by the Chadash, he's not concerned. So he says, Lokasha, and this is your idea, Michael, Kemech v'kali tanan. He says, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about eating, but what is the Mishnah talking about? It's talking about flour and toasted grain. So that's like people don't eat that. So if it's something people don't eat, he's not concerned about something people don't eat. But if it's something a person eats, then he is concerned about it. He says, but then the Gemara adds on, he says, and the Bach is, v'had Ravashi bedutahi. Ravashi's explanation is beduta means like, you know, there's a pasuk by Yeravam ben Nevat. You remember Yeravam ben Nevat takes over the 10 northern tribes and he creates new Yom Tovim. He says, like, l'chagim asher badami libo, the holidays that he, like, you know, created from his own mind. In other words, instead of Sukkot, he created another holiday a month later or something like that. So that's beduta. Or someone to say beruta. Beruta, it's like outside. It's like, in other words, the idea is that it's something not correct, but they want to say it in a sensitive way. So anyway, so he says here, hatenach mi kali ve'elach. So that works from the processing once it's been, you know, with toasted grain, things like that, or flour. Mi karad kali ma'iklamemar. But in the Mishnah, he's permitting working with the grains up until that point in time. In other words, the Gemara takes the grains are edible. And when I was in Eretz Yisrael many years ago, I did eat some grains from the stalk and definitely is edible. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema ayde kituf kidravo. So you'll say, well, the difference is that when it's at that early stage, you're going to pluck it off the stalk. You won't harvest it, and that'll be the reminder. He says, but we have the Mishnah where you're allowed to do Ketzira, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, on the irrigated fields and the fields that are in the valley. That was the poor, the inferior crop. He says, Vukimnik Rabbi Yehuda. We said that Mishnah goes like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'ik Lamemar. What can we say about that? Meaning, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda is signing off on that, and even though there's a possibility then that you would come to eat it. In other words, Rabashi's idea is he's not concerned about eating something which is inedible, like kemach and the kali, but the grains are edible. Elad Ravashi bedutahi. So Ravashi is beduta. That's not, you know, the Gemara doesn't favor that. Okay, so the main shot that we had so far is, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the key is it badal in shimine or not? Do people normally stay away from it? So chametz that people are always involved with, so that I have to keep you away from it. But Chadash, I know it's like verboten. I stay away from it. I'm not afraid you'll come to eat it. And the Chachamim, they are always afraid that you'll come to eat something. But if you're on a search and destroy mission, then they're not afraid. In other words, with the Chachamim, if you're on a search and destroy mission, then they're not afraid you'll come to eat it. So far, that's the pshat so far. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Yosef, you okay today, Yosef? Okay. Good?
I'm good.
Okay. Okay, I'm moving on. All right. So let's take a look. So we're six lines above. And I missed you last night, Yosef. I missed you.
I know. Right. Sorry.
All right. So we're six lines above where it gets wide on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Now, b'chol heichad lo bad minei migazar Rabbi Yehuda. Now, is that true? In other words, this is the linchpin of our, again, just focusing on the sign of Rabbi Yehuda. Is it something that badal in shiminei or not? Or is it something that people are habituated to stay from or not? So if they're not habituated to stay from it, then he's going to make a gzera. They are, he's not going to make a gzera. He says, v'hatanan, we learn the Mishnah. This Mishnah, I think everybody knows because it's recited every Friday night in Bam Ebedlikin. V'hatanan, lo yiko v'dam shvar shal beitza v'imolena shemen v'yineta b'tzadaner shil shtei min atefet. That a person should make a hole in an eggshell and use the eggshell as a reservoir for oil. In other words, the eggshell, the oil will drip in from the eggshell. Now, the nair here means the lamp. It was like the Friday night candles, quote unquote, were oil from oil, burning wicks burning on oil. So he says, Lo yikon shvesh ha-beitza v'yimlen ha-shem v'yinen ha-bitzad ha-nair v'fil sh'teim et ha-tefet. So the oil will drip in. V'afil hi shel cheres. Even if it's not eggshell, let's say it's cheres. It's an earthenware vessel, because the chashash there is that the person will come to take some of the oil from the reservoir. It's like an additional reservoir. So the person to take from the lighted candle itself, he knows not to do, but he might be take from the reservoir and he'll take oil for his salad or something like that. Oil was a big, you know, food item. So if he takes the oil, he'll be chayav for mechaba on Shabbat. So therefore he shouldn't do it. That'll be kibui. He says, Rabbi Yehuda matir, and Rabbi Yehuda permits you. So it's strange because here we have something which is totally, in other words, everybody agrees I can't take that oil. If I take the oil, everybody agrees I'll be chayav for kibui. And we said, Rabbi Yehuda, if it's lo badil in shimineh, if people don't keep away from it, he'll make a gzera. Here's oil, people don't stay away from it, and yet he doesn't make a gzera. That's the stira within the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Hatam Shum Chumr de Shabbat, Mivdal Bedilei. So he says, over there, because of the stringency of Shabbos, people will stay away. In other words, people know Shabbos B'mezidam Chayav Misa or Karet, that they know to stay away. Now, you could say, what's the difference with chametz? Isn't chametz also a chiv karet? But the answer is that we're talking about chametz on Erev Pesach. So even though the prohibition against eating chametz on Erev Pesach is not a chiv karet. In other words, it's a chiv malkot on Erev Pesach. So therefore, he's concerned that a person, you know, he's lo bedili in shemineh. Here, even though he's concerned that it's lo bedili in shemineh, but the chumra of Shabbos, that'll be like a big weight in front of his eyes. Okay, so that's the Hesber so far. Any questions on that? Okay, I'm moving on.
Can you repeat that last case, please?
So
the oil.
Okay, it's the Mishnah in Bamei Madlikim that we say every Friday night.
Right.
So in the Mishnah, it says that a person shouldn't create an additional reservoir for his Friday night candles that's going to drip oil in, because he may be tempted to take oil out of the reservoir and use it for food. So if he takes oil out of the reservoir, he's chayav for kibui, mechaba on Shabbat, because the candle's going to go out earlier because he's taking away the oil. So, but Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, it's fine. I'm not worried about that. So that's a stira. Rabbi Yehuda said before, if it's lo bedili in shemineh, if it's something that a person doesn't stay away from, I'm concerned he's going to, you know, eat it right by chametz. Like the chametz is prohibited on it, but here the oil that's lo bedili in shemineh, he's not concerned the person's going to eat it. So the Gemara says, because of the chumra of Shabbos, the severity of Shabbos, that'll kill it. In other words, it's like, you know, when you have enough on the line, you remember things. You know, it's like that's what it stands for. Okay, now the Gemara says, "Virami de Shabbat a Shabbat." Now, having said that, we're going to have a stira within the halachot of Shabbos, we think. We're going to try to resolve it. The Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Chevel Dli Shenifsak, if you have a rope that's supporting a bucket and the rope breaks, he says, Lo Yehei Koshro Ela Onvo. So he shouldn't tie the rope into a knot, because that would be Malacha Doraisa, having the knot, but he'll make a bow. A bow is permissible to make on Shabbos. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, don't even make the bow. Korech la punda, you'll wrap this like hollow belt around it. In other words, you'll take the two ends of the rope and then you'll sort of like create like a bandage around the two ends of the rope. Opiskia is like a garter, something that holds up your socks. Uvaj lo yanvenu, provided that you don't make it uneva, don't make a bow. We think right now he doesn't want you to make a bow because you'll come to make a permanent knot. That's what we think That's what we think Rabbi Yehuda holds. So the Gemara says, Kasha is Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Yehuda. So we think, so here, again, by the oil case from Bamei Badlikin, so Rabbi Yehuda isn't concerned that you'll take the oil out of the keli because of the Chumrah of Shabbos. I'm not afraid. The Shabbos is going to be like in front of you, the red lights of Shabbos. I won't do anything wrong. And yet here, we don't say that. Here we don't say that. And then with the Chachamim over there, they are concerned about it, and here they give you a green light. So the Gemara says, Kashid Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda, Kashid Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan Lo Kasha. There's no stira within the Shita of the Chachamim. Shemen B'Shemen Michlif. A person, like he's used to substituting one oil with another oil, like, you know, here's some oil I use for my salad, here's other oil, you know, I don't know, this oil, that oil, the other oil, it's all like the Zabazach, so to speak. He says, Aniva B'Kshira Lo Michlif. But, so therefore, the oil, I don't want, according to Chachamim, I don't want you to touch, because you'll, in other words, I don't want you to have this whole reservoir situation with the oil. You'll come to take the oil from it because you're going to make a mistake one oil with another oil. But with making a bow and making a knot, that you know is a big difference. Bow, I understand, is permissible. Knot is prohibited. That I'm fine with. He says, the Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha. There's no contradiction within the sheets of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Tamad Rabbi Yehuda, la mishum de gazar aniva atuk shira. We misunderstood. It's not because he's afraid that making a bow, you'll come to make a knot. Ella mishum k'savar aniva gufa shira. We had this earlier, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that making a bow is itself a malacha d'oraisa. So that's why he says,
didn't we learn something about
give me 2 seconds.
Mute.
Okay, give me 2 seconds. Okay, so he says, aniva gufa k'shira hi, that aniva itself is the malacha d'oraisa. Okay, so again, so we had a stira between the Mishnah in Bamei Badlikin and this Mishnah, we thought. So the Chachamim over there by Bamei Badlikin say, don't use the oil reservoir, because you'll come to take oil from the reservoir, you'll do malacha d'oraisa. And here, they say, the rope broke, you'll make a bow with it. And they're not afraid of the bow, you'll make a knot. So that seems like here we're making zero, here we're saying, no, we're opening it up. So it's very different, because in one case, one oil, I get confused, one oil and other oil, with the oil in my pantry from the oil in the reservoir, and I'll take the one that's prohibited. Whereas with the knot and the bow, that's a big difference. Knot, I know, is prohibited, and bow is permissible. And then we said with Rabbi Yehuda, we also have a stira. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, he's matir with the reservoir because of the Chumrah of Shabbos. Over here, we misunderstood. It's not that he's afraid that the bow, you'll come to make the knot. He, Tana Rabbi Yehuda, holds, making a bow is itself the malacha. Therefore, you can't make the bow. That's why he says, don't make the bow. That's the malacha d'oraisa. Okay, now we got time for questions. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts? Oh, Dade, you were first in line. Let me hear.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said that we learned something about you as the location of Shalkaima.
Right, that's 100% correct.
Yeah.
So the question is,
therefore, you don't need to use kesher aniva. You just can put a tie and then untie it. You can tie it to your belt.
Well, no. In other words, you're not allowed to make a kesher shel kayama. That's the yisod. But what is a kesher shel kayama? How do we define a kesher shel kayama? So the post can speak about both the type of knot and how long you anticipate the knot being tied. Those are the two elements that they get into. But
so that's a temporary.
No. In other words, being the litmus test between permanent and temporary. In other words, like it could be permanent, could be on the type of knot or not. That could be one way. And then how long you intend the knot to be in that condition is also a variable. So, but that's the way we're going to. So anyway, but the point is that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that a bow, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, is a kesher shel kayama. So he says it's a malacha d'oraisa, and the Chachamim disagree with that. That's the basic idea. Okay, who's got other questions, comments, or thoughts? Mayor, then Fern. Go ahead.
Okay, so when you take oil from the reservoir, is that a vadai kibui? Why is it?
Because in other words, the candle was going to go out at 2:00. Now it's going to go out at 1:45. So you are mechaba the candle.
Okay, but why isn't that grumma? Isn't that a grumma?
So it could be. That's a good ha'ara. Let's take a look. One minute. Why is that a gram kibui? One second. Let me take a look. One second. Yeah. So if you look in the fifth very wide line in Rashi, Rashi mm-hmm. says, if a person, somebody has music, is that urine? So if a person,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. So if a person is like he's using any of that oil, he's chay mishum mechabe. So it doesn't seem like it's a gram kibui. So gram kibui is like indirect. I do one action and indirectly it causes the other action. This sounds like it's more direct. But you have to, it needs to be analyzed a little bit more. One second. Let me see what he says here. One second. So, the only thing I'm thinking is that like, let's take a more simple case. Let's say I have a wick in a bowl with oil, and I take oil out of that bowl. That's definitely not gram kibui. That's mechabe. That's mechabe. So, here with this oil that's dripping into the bowl, so. It has to be teased out more. But if it's like a regular like supply ship or a supply reservoir, sounds like it's more direct. That's the only thing I could say. But I need to look a little bit more. Okay, but all right. Who's got any questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on now. Okay, all right. Let's go further in the Gemara. So on the fifth very wide line in Yudalef Amud Aleph, Nivarami Rabbanad Rabbanan. So again, let's focus just, we're moving from Inyan La'inyan. So we moved a little bit, you know, off, you know, for our focus, but focusing on the Shita of the Chachamim, they hold that I'm not allowed to tie the rope that broke with the pail, but I can make a bow with it. That's what the Shita of the Chachamim, that's what they hold. He says, "Varami Rabbanan ad Rabbanan," but that's going to be stira d'tan, because we learn in another Mishnah, kosher and leave the piskia, that a person could tie the bucket with the piskia is like the garter of a lobachevel. You can't tie it with a rope. So again, the Chachamim said that I can make a bow with the rope. He says, but here it says of a lobachevel, Rabbi Yehuda matir. Matir, and Rabbi Huda's Matir. So we'll see in a minute. So Chevel Demai. So first the Gemara has to understand the Mishnah, and then we'll ask the question. What type of rope are we talking about? Ilei Mechevel Da'alma, if we say it's like a garden variety rope, so he says, Rabbi Huda Matir, and Rabbi Huda's Matir to tie the regular rope, Kesher Shel Kayamahu. That's what Odeid was saying. That's a Kesher Shel Kayama. That's definitely prohibited. Devadai Ati Li Batule. You'll definitely leave it there forever. That can't be the Pshat in the Mishnah. Elipshita de Gardi. So the only way the Mishnah makes sense, we're not talking about a regular rope, we're talking about a weaver's rope. So the weaver's rope is either not so strong, so it's not going to be hanging around there too long, or the weaver's going to need his rope after Shabbos, so he's going to pull it back. So it's not going to have long usage there. He says, V'gazru Rabbanan chevel de Gardi atu V'gazru Rabbanan. So kosher b'li b'piskia v'lo b'chevel, so we could tie the bucket with a piskia, with a garter, that's, he says, of a lobachevel, not with the rope. And it means the weaver's rope. He says, v'gazru rabbanan chevel de gardia to chevel de alma. You mean they make a gzeira that I can't tie the weaver's rope because of a rope in general? So the Gemara says, in other words, chevel b'chevel michlif, one rope with another rope, a person could substitute one rope for another. Aniva b'kshira l'machalfa. In other words, the Chachamim permit you to make a bow. That they're not afraid. In other words, that they know bow, knot. I know bow is different than a knot. But if I permit you to tie this weaver's rope, even though the weaver's rope is permissible because it's not going to be there long. Here it's using like time. In other words, the knot isn't going to be the long. It's just going to be there, let's say, hours. So, but you're allowed, according to Chachamim, to tie the weaver's rope. So why is that? He says, so aniva b'kshira l'machalfa. He says, chevel b'chevel mechlef, one rope with another rope. So here's a weaver's rope, but I could easily, if you give me a green light for that, I think I can make a knot with a regular rope, and that's not allowed. Aniva b'kshira l'machalfa. All right, that's that piece. All right, I'm going to move on. Now, the Gemara says, v'chol hecha debadil mine lo gazar Rabbi Yehuda. You mean wherever a person like would move away from something, you know, and separate him somewhere, he doesn't make a gzeira. V'hatanya, we learn in the Braisa, Bechor she'achaz odam. Now the Bechor is given to a Kohen. It's the firstborn animal. You give it to a Kohen, And there's an isur to make a mum in the bechor. There's an isur to make a mum in the bechor. So bechor sha'achaz odam. Let's say my bechor is Shaya here tonight. Shaya? Yeah, there he is. Okay, you see, there's always animals come up on every daf, Shaya. You should write your perish, veterinarian's commentary. You'll be the art scroll veterinarian's commentary on Shas. Okay, so now, and we'll hear hopefully commentary from
this. Or maybe Stein's out.
All right, whatever. So this will be the Parver edition. Okay. Now, Vahatanya, Bechor She'achaz Odam, the Bechor is congested with blood, and they think that the cure for this, in other words, they're afraid he's not healthy. He's going to be in Gehak Tzuris, and we have to let blood out of it. Vahatanya, it's not talking about Shabbos, just in general. Bechor She'achaz Odam, Afilu Hu Meid, even if the animal is going to die as a result of this malady, Ein Makiz Lo Dam Debir Rabbi Yehuda, we don't permit somebody to bloodlet it because we're afraid. Now, certain parts, if he cuts, it'll be all right. Other parts will be over on Easter. It says, mum lo yebo, because I'll take it that there's an Easter to put a mum in an animal. So if he cuts in a part where it wouldn't heal, like in the ear or the lip or something like that, so he'll be guilty of making a mum. So Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, don't bloodlet at all from the Bechor. He says, no, do bloodletting, but don't be, make sure that it's in the place where it wouldn't be a mum. So now the Bechor is begetter kachim. That's kachim. So people are bedili in Shemineh. They separate. They're habituated. They know they're not involved with kachim. And nevertheless, Tana Rabbi Yehuda makes a gzera here. So he says, hatam mitok shadam bahul, and then turn page, Amud Beis, mitok shadam bahul, Alma Mono. Listen, I have to pick up the pace a bit. I'm sorry. Mitoshadam Bahul Alma Mono. Imrinan, since a person gets for tumult over his money, Isharid Le Makom She'eno Sin Bo Mum, if I give you a green light to make a mum in a place which is permissible, he says, Atin Le Makom She'o Sin Bo Mum. So then you'll come to make it in a place that you're not allowed to do. So that's why, you're right, Kachim people do stay away from. So normally I would think that he wouldn't make a gezeira, but a person, there's another svara involved, Dampahul Mamono. Who remembers where we had the svara in our Daf Yomi Masor? Ah, Fern's got it.
With Shabbos, if you can take the Sifrei Torah out, what you can take out, you're going to think about your money.
You mean, but you're leaving out the what's the key on take it out? Why?
Because you're worried about your money.
Why are you worried?
Because
a fire. The house is burning.
The house is burning down, right?
So if we let you go take whatever you need, so Adam Bahumo no, he'll come to put out the fire. Anyway, so here, since person is like for tumult with his money, means that this animal is valuable, the coin wants it. If I give a green light to cut in one place, he'll cut in the wrong place. That's the way the Rebbe Yehuda will go. Rabbanan, Kol Shekain, the Ilo Sharit Lay Klal Atil Mebad. How many say if you don't give it any opening, like any avenue where you can alleviate the situation, then definitely he's going to make a mum. He says, Umi Amrinu Rabbi Yehuda Adam Bahul Mumano. So it's like going in the Indian. Does Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to the idea that a person is Bahul Mumano, a person is for tumult over his money? He says, Vahatran, we learn the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Mekardin HaBehema B'Yom Tov. Mekardin is like, they would comb the animals and the mud, like the fur, whatever, would be matted, and they felt it wasn't so healthy for it. So Ein Mekardin HaBehema B'Yom Tov, so I'm not allowed to like comb the animal with like a metal, like with fine teeth, because I'm likely to make a chabura in the animal, which would be a malacha doraisa. He says, aval makartsefin, but I could be makartsef is with a wooden comb with wider teeth, that I could do. But chachamim omrim, ain makardin or makadrin, af ain makartsefin, you can't do anything. Betania and the Bryce says, ezu kidur, ezu kirtsuf, what's kidur, what's kirtsuf? Kidur, Kitanim, his kidur is like the fine teeth, the metal comb. Va'osin chabura, that makes a chabura. Kirtsuf gidolim are the big teeth and a wooden comb. Ve'inosin chabura. So the point is that the Rebbe Yehuda says we thought Adam b'hol mamono, but the Rebbe Yehuda says that I'm allowed to do the wide tooth comb. and I'm not afraid that a person will be bahu mamono. I'm concerned about the health of my animal, and I'll come to use the fine tooth comb. In other words, so we said that Reb Yudah subscribes to the idea that a person is bahu mamono. He's for tumble with his money, and who knows what he's going to do if I open the door. And yet with the combing, he permits you to open with the permissible comb, which is the wooden wide tooth comb, and he's not afraid that you'll come to use the fine tooth metal comb, which could lead to a chabura. So the Gemara says, Hatam the ishavik le mayit. He says, by the bechor, if you leave it, and the animal's going to keel over, emina dam bahu mamono. So the animal may die or not die. Yes, I'm bahu mamono. There he subscribes to it. Hacha ishavik le tzara ba'amahu. Here, if he doesn't take care of the combing, so the animal's not going to die or live. He's just going to be uncomfortable. So he says, "Lo amina na dam bahu mamono." I'm not going to say dam bahu mamono. Okay, for Rabbi Yehuda, ma'ishna gabi chametz the gazar. Why is it by chametz he goes there, you may come to eat the chametz? He says, but by kirtzuf, by the combing, he doesn't make a gzeira that you may use the fine tooth comb. He says, lechem b'lechem michlif. He says, one bread with another bread, a person means the bread, you know, is permitted during the rest of the year. And so I'll you know, in other words, bread is prohibited on Pesach, but permissible during the rest of the year. So that I'll get confused with. Kidur b'kirtzof l'michla. I'm not concerned that a person will confuse like the combing with the wide tooth and the thin tooth. Everybody's got that all straightened out. Anyway, the basic idea in the sugya is that Reb Yudah subscribes to the idea that b'dili in shimine, there are certain things in life that a person normally stays away from. And Chadash is an example of that. And there, he's not goes there. Then there are certain things that person, lo b'dili in shimine, people don't separate themselves from. And there, he is goes there. And that's like the chametz. And the chamim say that a person is always a lul to, you know, change one thing for another thing. But unless there's some special circumstance, and like, for example, when he's on a search and destroy mission by the chametz, that's a special circumstance. Okay, I have 60 seconds, 90 seconds for questions, and I really got to run. Who's got questions? All right, let's go to the next Mishnah. Now, this next Mishnah is a famous Mishnah, and even if you just remember the first six lines of the Mishnah, you'll be in good stead, I think. Okay, even if you get nothing else from today's Daf Yomi, though it's always good to get everything from Daf Yomi. But okay, so Manitin, Reb Meir Omer, Oakland Kol Chamesh V'Sorfin B'Chilat Sheish. Reb Meir says that you can eat chametz for the first 5 hours on Erev Pesach. The first five, again, so the day, again, this Machloket Poskim, whether the day is measured from sunrise to sunset or from Alot HaShachar to Seder Kochavim. That's Machloket between the Magen Avram and the Gra. And that relates also to Sof Zman Kriyat Shema as well. But the main, you know, ground zero for the Machloket is Erev Pesach with Chametz. So the Gra is from sunrise to sunset, and the Magen Avraham is from Alot HaShachar to Seder Kochavim. So you take the day, you divide it into 12 hours, 12 parts, and then that's an hour. So an hour could be much more than 60 minutes. And then the first hour, the second hour, and so forth. So the end of the sixth hour would be at the end of the 6 hours, high noon. Okay, so Romero. So on a din Torah, chametz is prohibited in achila and possession from chatzot, from ach bayom rishon chalek. But the chamim are adding more time because they're afraid people make a mistake. So we got to add more. So Remeir Omer, Ochlin Kol Chamesh. Matan Remeir says you can eat chametz for 5 hours, not six. So it means you'll eat hour for the first 5 hours of the day. It means you'll eat again. So it means sunrise at six, sunset at six, measuring like the gross, sunrise sunset. You'll eat chametz till 11 a.m. B'sorfin b'chilat sheish, and then you'll burn at the beginning of the sixth hour, which would be like 11:05. You'll burn the chametz. He says, and then we have to talk about we don't burn in the sixth hour. We burn before the sixth hour. I don't know if we'll have time to go over today, but maybe tomorrow. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says we eat for the first 4 hours of the day, which would be to 10 a.m. B'tolin Kol Chamesh. Then 1 hour we hold everything in abeyance. I don't eat and I don't get hana from it. B'sorfin b'chilat sheish, and I burn at the beginning of the sixth hour. It'd be like 11:05. V'od amar Rabbi Yehuda, shtei chalot shel Torah psula menuchot al gav ha'itzteba. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they would take two chalot from a korban Torah that had been psulot, and the Gemara later on, not in today's daf, but later on, we'll discuss what the psul was, and they leave it on the itztaba on the bench. Kulzman shemunachot kol ha'am ochlin. And when they're both there, everybody eats. There's a whole crowd of people on these benches, and they, I guess the news travels. Nitla achad, when one loaf was removed, tolin, lo ochlin v'lo sorfin. One loaf is removed, that's a sign that things have changed. Now I can't eat anymore. He says, nitlu shteyan hitchilu kulam sorfin. Both taken, everybody begins burning it. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, there's a third shita. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, chulin nechalin kol arba. Chulin could be eaten all 4 hours. That's the same as the Tana Rabbi Yehuda above. He says, utruma kol chamesh. With truma, they give you an additional hour. They don't want the truma to go to waste. He says, v'sorfin b'chilat shesh. Then we burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. Okay? All right, let me just, who has questions on the Mishnah? Okay, let me do a little bit of the Gemara. And then now the Gemara is going to get into a discussion about, it's in a sugya from Sanhedrin, and then we'll connect it, Bleed Eder, and tomorrow's daf to our Mishnah. So put our Mishnah on the side, and we're going to talk about Edim, who see Reuven kill Shimon, and there's going to be a discrepancy in the testimony, what day it took place, and what hour it took place. And then the Gemara gets into a discussion, like how much of a discrepancy is a discrepancy. There are seven chakirot, seven questions you ask the Edim, and they have to have the same day, the same time, and things like that. Let's say one witness says it happened at 11, and one says 11:05. So is that a discrepancy? That's it. And you know, the good defense attorney, now the guy's exonerated. So so let's see what it's doing. So the Gemara says, Gemara, Tanana Tam, we learned the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin. If one witness says that Reuben killed Shimon on the second of the month, and the other witness says Reuben killed Shimon on the third of the month, so, and what's the aleph here? He says, B'shloshah b'chodesh, yeah. He says, Edutan kayemet. So the Edus is good. We're going to chalk up the discrepancy in the testimony that maybe one witness knew that the Chodesh was Mu'ubar, that they had 30 days in the previous month. So he's the one who's saying, you know, that it took place on the second of the month. And the other witness didn't know that it was the 30 days. He thought it was only 29 days. So he said the third of the month. If one witness says it happened on the third of the month, the other witness says it happened on the fifth of the month, that's the history. All right, that's not the part you'll need. Here's the part that you will need. Let's focus. Now, one witness says Reuben killed Shimon in the second hour. The second hour would be from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And one said in the third hour from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Edutam kayemet. That edus is sustained. We'll see in a minute in the Gemara. But one says it took place in the second hour, and one says in the third hour, one says the fifth hour, that's betela. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Edutan Kayemet. Rabbi Yehuda says that discrepancy is also good, 2 hours. But even the Tana Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Echad Omer B'chamesh V'Echad Omer B'sheva, if one witness says it took place in the fifth hour, so the fifth hour is from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., and one V'Echad Omer B'sheva, one says in the seventh hour would be from 12 noon to 1 p.m., Edutan B'tela. In the fifth hour, the sun is in the east. In the seventh hour, it's in the west. That we take it, people should know the difference with that. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Now, first we're going to analyze the Mishnah, and then tomorrow connect it up to our Mishnah. Okay, so our Mishnah, we left on the side with the time to eat in chametz. And although we know that the time has moved back, because again, the question is, can I eat chametz until the fourth hour or the fifth hour? And the question is, how much would a person normally make a mistake? In other words, does a person make a mistake 1 hour or 2 hours? That's the basic idea of the Mishnah. In the word machloket mermei and Rabbi Yehuda. But let's do this thing now about our murder case. So Amar Abaye says, Shetim Salomar, when you analyze this, the divrei Reb Meir, focusing on Reb Meir. So Reb Meir says, 1 hour difference between the second hour, what were the hours? He said, Shalosh, no. He says, Shalosh, Shtei and Shtayim and Shalosh. So one witness says it happened in the second hour, one happens in the third hour, so that's good. That's Edutan Kayemet. But if one says the third hour, one says the fifth hour, not. So, L'divrei Meir, Inadam Tova V'lo Klum, a person doesn't make any mistakes. So it means everybody makes mistakes, but it means if two witnesses come in, and one says, I'm sure it was the second hour, one says the third hour, there's a way to say that they're not going to make a mistake. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, adam tova chatzi shoah, a person would make a mistake of a half an hour. Look, I'll explain. L'divrei Meir, adam tova lo klum, the way we assume the case happened, ma'asik hiyav, b'meipak tarte, u'ma'ilat. We assume the murder took place, that the end of 2 hours would be 8 a.m. So in other words, so the murder took place at approximately 8 a.m. Well, 8:01 would be the beginning of the third hour. So the murder took place, let's say, between around 8 or 8:01. Around, that's when the murder took place. But Hatakamer Shtayim, the one who said it had took place in the second hour, it says Besof Shtayim. He means in the end of the second hour at 8 o'clock. But Hatakamer Shalosh, the one who said in the third hour, he says Betchilat Shalosh. He says he meant the beginning of the third hour, which would also be like 8:01. So everybody's saying, I'm sure, the second hour. So the third hour, that's what we're going to assume they meant. The Gemara is going to ask, how can you assume they meant that? How do you know it's not? Well, when is the beginning? When's the end? This, the Gemara will get to it tomorrow. Now, he says, the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, but according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toa Chatzi Sho'a, that a person can make a mistake of half an hour, you know, a reasonable mistake of half an hour. Ma'asa ki hava, we assume the case happened, but Palga de Arba hava, he says, in the middle of the fourth hour. So it means 3.5 hours in the day. 3.5 hours, 9:30 a.m. the murder took place. Now I don't know. I don't know if in your art schools, in my art school, it has a mistake. I think on page 11B3, it says on the second line on the right hand column, 4.5 hours. It means 3.5 hours. Do you have that or not? Does anybody have on the? Or you take a look. He says we can assume the incident actually occurred in the middle of the fourth hour. Right, anyway, now he says. He says, so it would happen at 9:30 a.m. The one who said 3 hours, he meant besof shalosh. He meant like at the end of 3 hours. The end of 3 hours would be 9 a.m. So he made it a half hour before it happened. In other words, the person can make a mistake of a half hour. So he's testifying it happened at 9. It really happened at 9:30 a.m. V'hai dekamar Chamesh, and the other witness who said it happened at the fifth hour, Betchila Chamesh, she means the beginning of the fifth hour, which is really 10 a.m. He says, V'katai pal gadashai t'lachore. He's also mistaken. He's like a half hour later. He says, okay, that's the first Hezber in the Mishnah. So either person wouldn't make a mistake at all, according to a mayor, and this is the way the first understanding. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd make a mistake of half an hour. So the half hour lets you accept the testimony from the murder happened in the third and the fifth hour. Now, Ika da Amri, others say, Amar Abaye, Kshitim Salom Radivar Meir, Adam Toa Mashu, that a person, Meir said that according to, that Abaye said according to Meir, a person would make a mistake a little bit, like a Mashu, like 5 minutes he make a mistake. The Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toa Sha'u Mashu, and within Rabbi Yehuda, you make a mistake of an hour and a little bit. Let's take a look. The Divrei Meir, Adam Toa Mashu, Masa Ki Hava, O Besof Shtayim Hava, O Betchil Shalosh. When the murder took place was either at the end of the second hour, which would be around 7:55, he says, oh, but chilat shalosh, or maybe 8:05, the beginning of the third hour, somewhere around there. He says, v'chad minayu toa mashahu. So when one said it was the second hour, one said the third hour, so one of them is making a mistake. In other words, it was either in the second hour or the third hour, but they're making a mistake, but not a big mistake, maybe a 5 or 10 minute mistake. That's the difference. He says, l'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, adam toa shal mashahu. Within Rabbi Yehuda, a person would make a mistake of an hour and more. He says, Ma'asa ki hava o besof shalosh. And again, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says third hour and the fifth hour is mitzareif. He says, Ma'asa ki hava o besof shalosh. The incident took place either at the end of 3 hours, which would be at 9 a.m., o betchil chamesh, or the beginning of the fifth hour, which would be at 10 a.m. So it happened either at 9 a.m. or at 10 a.m. So he says, now, Yud Bei Zaman Aleph, the top line, the Chad Minay Katoi Shao Mashu. One is making a mistake of an hour and a fraction. So one said it happened in the third hour. So it happened in the third hour, we said, Sof Shalosh. So it happened at 8:55. And the other, he says, it happened at the beginning of the fifth hour. It happened at 10:05. So it's like an hour and a little bit more. A person would make a mistake. All right. So this subject connection again with with our Mishnah. We're gonna join it up tomorrow with that. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did today? Everybody good? Okay, let me just end the recording.